This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Spring, Alicia and I went on a trip to, we went to Kentucky, but then we went down to Georgia to visit my dad, but then we went over to North Carolina. And while we were there, we visited the Billy Graham Library. This was a place where you could go and see where Billy Graham was buried and learn about his life and see all different artifacts that were a part of his life. And as you go throughout this tour, you go from one room to the next and you see different stages of development of his ministry and different aspects of his ministry. And usually every room has some sort of a glass case in the room. And inside the glass case are all different things that he possessed or were connected to him in some way, or his wife, Ruth. And for example, you go to one room and they had in a glass case Ruth Graham's wedding dress, and to see the dress that she would have worn. And there's another room and you see different gifts that people around the world gave Billy Graham. And then you come to one glass case and there was, sitting in the glass case, Billy Graham's Bible that he used to preach the Word of God. And I believe it was open to the book of John, the third chapter. And there was John 3:16, which so was a foundational verse for his ministry. And you know, they put it in a glass case for a reason, because they don't want it to get contaminated. They don't want all the people who go through there on a daily basis to touch it and ruin it. This is the idea, if you could picture it, of holiness. It's undefiled, untouched by that which is unclean. And as we heard the Word of God spoken by our brother here, in our passage of Scripture, what you see is that the Pharisees had a problem with Jesus. In verse 1 of chapter 15, all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners, eats with them." Jesus, to be holy, you are to be separate. You are to be untouched by that which is unclean. You are to be in a glass case, like us. We're Pharisees, we walk in the ways of God, we are in our glass case. What was Jesus' answer to them? How did he respond? Well, he gave three parables. Parable of the lost sheep, parable of the lost silver, and the parable of the lost son. And every single one of those parables basically gave the same answer to the Pharisees. Why? Because they're lost. They're lost. Now, when I looked up the definition of the word lost, there are nine of them. Destroyed or ruined physically or morally, missing, no longer held, no longer seen, heard, or known, not gained or won, uncertain as to one's location, bewildered or ill at ease, not spent profitably or usefully, spent away from one's place of work. Okay, when Jesus says they're lost, what does he mean? And as we glean from these three parables, we'll see what he means. In Jesus' three parables, the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son, he explains to us what he means that they're lost and why he's willing to step out of the glass case and associate with them. Brothers and sisters, apart from God, mankind is lost. And I think we can highlight and take all those many definitions and boil them down to two different aspects of being lost. Mankind is lost in the sense of direction, and mankind is lost in the sense of dignity. In direction and in dignity. Now, in connection with God, when mankind is with God, mankind is complete in direction and in dignity. But we'll see here in these parables, Jesus teaches us that mankind is lost. And first we see that mankind is lost in the sense of direction. The first parable he gives is that of the lost sheep. And as he explains this parable of the lost sheep, he tells them that the sheep has strayed. The sheep has strayed. He spoke a parable to them saying, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost?" He's explaining that there was a sheep that has strayed. The sheep was lost in its sense of direction. It strayed. The shepherd is supposed to lead the sheep. He goes throughout the different areas. He goes throughout the woods. He goes throughout the plains. He goes over the mountains. And the flock follows the shepherd. And here we have a picture. There was this one sheep that for whatever reason decided to go on a different path and strayed from the shepherd, and it became lost. The sheep has strayed. And that's the case of the world of mankind. Mankind has strayed from God. Mankind is lost in its sense of direction because it has gone off the path that God had intended for mankind to go on. And now, like a sheep stuck in the woods, not knowing where he is, so is mankind stuck in the wilderness, not knowing where they are, trying to make sense of their surroundings, trying to figure out where to go. And we see this evident that mankind has no moral compass. There's no idea of where we define right and wrong in man, in our society. The Family Policy Institute sent Joseph back home to Seattle University to ask some basic questions. One question was, is there a difference between men and women? This is a university where students are being taught information that is supposed to be the bedrock of our society. These students are to step out of these universities and lead this country in the area of economics and the political sphere and all the other spheres of our society. Is there a difference between men and women? And here are some of the responses. Possibly. Socially, currently, yes, there is. But there is no need for that difference to exist scientifically and logically. If you think that you're male, if you think that you're female, that matters more than biological difference. There's not much difference besides what society forces upon people. In general, yes, but I don't know why I think that. Think about it. Is there a difference between men and women? In general, yes, but I don't know why I think that. At the end of the video, back home concludes, quote, "There may be nothing more self-evident in the natural universe than the fact that every animal species is divided into two halves, male and female. Yet the most intelligent of those species seems to be wrestling with whether male or female are actually real things. Have we discovered something new, or have we become too clever for our own good?" End quote. I think we can analyze that a little bit better. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 6, the Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And our world is evidence that mankind has strayed from God. And there are people who are so lost, they can't make sense of foundational questions. They have strayed. Mankind is lost in the sense of direction because the sheep has strayed. Mankind is lost in the sense of direction also because the silver has stagnated. If you look in your Bibles, he tells a second parable in verse 8. "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it?" The silver has stagnated. What does stagnate mean? It means that it got stale. It lied dormant. You had these 10 coins and one of them dropped to the floor and went rolled off. You know, when you drop coins, it's usually one of them that kind of rolls farther away, and this coin just rolled and it went under a piece of furniture perhaps, and it just lied there. It had stagnated. Now, it's very likely that this is referring to a 10-piece coin garland that women in this day would wear. When they got married, they would receive a garland that would go on their head or around their neck that consisted of 10 coins. And here we have one of them that is stagnant. It's collecting dust, lying on the floor. And this is the picture that Jesus is trying to tell us, that mankind is lost in the sense of direction. The direction is supposed to be on this garland. Where she takes these coins, it's supposed to go with the garland, with the other 10, but it's just sitting there collecting dust. And that's the picture of our world today, that mankind is lost. They're just collecting filth and dust sitting there. People are just stagnant, collecting sin. Sin is piling on as they lie there in the world, and all the things that they allow to come over their lives, it's like a filth that covers and taints. The dust collects on the sinner, and they lie stagnant. You look at the world around and you see that sins are heaping. The Bible talks about sins heaping upon one another, piling, dumping, overflowing. Pile after pile after pile after pile. When you go down to Livingston from Montfort, there's a giant grain operation business called Biddick Incorporated on the right-hand side of Highway 80. And you look and they have this one area of a concrete pad with a big conveyor belt that comes and drops grain into a pile. And over time, this pile gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and it becomes massive. And that's the way mankind is. That's how mankind is lost. We have allowed sin to pile and pile and pile until our sense of identity is completely gone. Like a coin lost in a house. Mankind is lost in the sense of direction, both because the sheep has strayed and the silver has stagnated, but also because the sun has striven in verse 13. And to be honest, this parable of the prodigal son could be a 10-part series in and of itself. But look at verse 13. We want to glean from this for the sake of this morning. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Why? Because he said to Father, give me the portion of my inheritance. He strove against the Father. He threw off the standard and the good plan that the Father had with the Son and decided to take His own. The Son has striven. He decided to go His own way, and as a result, He was lost. He didn't have the direction of His loving Father to guide Him through life. He decided to make His own path, and that path led Him to the depths of despair. And that's the case, my friends, with the world around us. The world around us, mankind, this includes all of us. Even if we're Christians, we've been there. Mankind has striven against God. Striven against that good intention that God has for us. We threw off the bounds. And particularly in our country, you see that happening more and more, where God created a framework for society that is good. And we see that the history of this country recognized that that framework was good for the human race and decided to establish a government based on that framework. And we see, just like the prodigal son, we see that our society is taking that framework and throwing it and casting it. Piece by piece. And it's getting to the point where anything that is good and anything that is of God and anything that was intended by God for our society is being scorned and being worked to fight against in our society. And whether it be the role of men and women in society and in a marriage, and whether it be the sanctity of life, the value of human life, whatever it is being cast away. And if continued, this society, this country will end up in the pits of filth. But they're lost. Not only in the sense of direction, but mankind is lost in the sense of dignity. Think about it with the sheep. The sheep, the dignity, the purpose, the intent of the sheep is to follow the shepherd. Where the shepherd goes, the sheep goes, and the purpose of the sheep is to provide wool for the shepherd. To provide perhaps milk for the shepherd. To be able to reproduce, to produce more sheep, to make the flock bigger. That's the dignity of the sheep. If a sheep wanders from the shepherd and goes on its own, what's left? The sheep becomes nothing more than food for the ravenous beasts. A sheep that is by itself, lost in the woods, is for nothing else than to feed hungry lions. And so mankind has lost its dignity. Having stepped away from God, mankind is like lost in the woods, ready to be devoured by the roaring lion, Satan, who is seeking those whom he may devour. Mankind has also lost its dignity in the sense of the coin. The sheep is a wandering meal. Well, the silver became a worthless metal. The dignity, the purpose, the intent of the coin was to shine on the garment, on the garland that the woman would wear, or at least shine in her possession. But being on the floor covered in filth, it lost its intent. It lost its value. Adrian Rogers talks about how he lost his wedding band when he was swimming in the ocean. And he says, that wedding band, though precious to me, has no value next to a seashell in the bottom of a seabed. And that's the case with mankind, brothers and sisters. Mankind was created, the purpose, the dignity of you and the dignity of me and the dignity of all of mankind, all over the world, is to glorify God, have a relationship with God. We're made in His image. We are to reflect the character and the glory of God. And having fallen from the other coins and on the floor and full of filth, the dignity there is lost. Mankind is lost in the sense of dignity with becoming a wandering meal, becoming a worthless metal, and becoming a woeful tragedy with the sun. What the sun had done became a woeful tragedy. He left all that was good, all that God had provided for him. And particularly when you think of the Jewish culture, one of the most vile creatures in the Jewish eye was that of a pig. They weren't to go near pigs, they weren't to eat them, they'd just be far from them. And here you have a Jewish man who has lost everything, has become a woeful tragedy. Now he's working for someone, feeding pigs. And in fact, he is so hungry because of the famine, he wants to eat the food that the pigs are eating. But he can't. I think it's safe to say that mankind is lost. And it's not that mankind has lost their intrinsic value. Every human being that you meet has intrinsic value, is made in the image of God, has inherent worth. But because mankind has rebelled against God, strayed from God, we lost our dignity. And you know something? Everyone listen here. Even if you're a Christian, even if you're a Christian, you can feel that sense of being lost. Perhaps you, by some decisions that you made, perhaps you were following in the fold and some decision was made, you decided to go off the path, and now you feel like you've strayed from the shepherd, and you're wandering in the woods, and you can't hear the voice of the shepherd because of the decision you made, and now you feel like you're lost. Now perhaps you've allowed sin to creep up in your life, like dust on a coin. It has kind of covered over you as you were supposed to reflect the glory of God. It is tainted and covered, and now you feel like the filth remains on you. Or maybe you felt like God wanted you to do something and you knew it was right and you knew it was good, but you decided to reject it and you wandered away and you strove against God. And you feel like there's a sense of being lost. And you know, God has every right to leave you lost and to let you continue in your way. But brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that Jesus says, even though mankind is lost like a sheep wandering in the woods, even though mankind is lost like a coin full of filth, even though mankind is lost like a son that has rebelled against his father, Jesus says in the book of Luke, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. That is the purpose of Almighty God. That is the purpose of the Son of God coming to this earth. God is seeking to save and find the lost sheep. The shepherd doesn't continue on his path with the 99. The Bible tells us that the shepherd turned around, left the 99 there, and went back into the woods to find that one sheep that was lost. The Bible tells us that the woman didn't just take the 9 coins and go on her way, but that she stopped and she took a broom and she went to her house and she started sweeping diligently until she could find that silver coin. And the Bible tells us that the father didn't just leave the son and say, "You are dead to me," and go on his life. The Bible says that the father went to the edge and looked in the horizon and looked to see if the son came under the sense of repentance and return. And the moment he saw him, he ran at him. God is seeking the lost sheep. God is seeking the lost silver. God is seeking the lost son. God is seeking the lost, calling them back. And when they turn from their wickedness and turn back to God's, when they repent, God is overjoyed. The Bible tells us that when the shepherd finds the sheep, he's overjoyed. And so if you feel lost right now because you've wandered from God in some way, God is seeking you. And if you allow Him to find you, He will come and He will take you. And the Bible says He picks up the sheep and He puts it over His shoulders. He is that overjoyed to find you. He will take you and He'll carry you on His shoulders and take you back home. The Bible says that He's overjoyed when He finds you on the floor, covered in your filth. He takes you, He takes the broom and He sweeps away the filth. That's why He died on the cross, to take away our sins, to cleanse us, to purify us, to allow the glory of God to shine through us. And so He takes you and He attaches you back to that 10-piece garland and wears you as His precious jewel. The Bible says that if you are lost, if you feel like you have fought against God, that you have gone your own way, the Bible says that He is ready to wrap His arms around you the moment you return. Because the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Look in verse 6, when He comes home, He calls together His friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me. I have found my sheep which was lost." This is the heart of God. When you look at mankind out there, He sees them, they're lost, He rejoices when they return. He says, "I say to you that there will be more joy in heaven over one that repents." Verse 9, when she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together saying, "Rejoice with me. I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents." There is worth one. It is worth one in His eyes. And you think of the Father who, when the Son, overcome with guilt and repentance, says, "God, I will return." And He comes and He runs after Him and wraps His arms around Him. The Bible says that He takes off His filthy garments that stinks and reeks, and He puts on the garments of righteousness on the Son's shoulders. And that's the case with you. If you feel like your life is filthy and it reeks and it stinks, you come to God, He takes that garment off of you and He wraps you in the garments of His righteousness and His holiness, and you are clothed anew in Him. And He rejoices. He throws a party. They make merry. And they become found. If you're lost, you can be found. When He comes and He seeks the sheep, He finds the sheep. Reclaims the sheep. Says, "This sheep is found." When she cleans the house, she finds the coin. The coin is found. It's no longer lost. It is found. The Son was lost, but the Father finds the Son in the horizon, runs after Him, and takes Him home. The Son thought He wasn't worthy to be called the Father's Son. And the Father kills a calf, makes a sacrifice, and throws a feast. And says, "My Son is found." In other words, mankind can regain its direction and can regain its dignity. I have two questions here today. First, are you lost? Have you strayed from God? Have you stagnated and allowed sin to pile up in your life? Have you striven against Him? Lifted up your fist against God and what He wants from you? He's seeking you. He's reaching out to you. that you may be found. Would you come to Him? Turn from that life of sin and embrace all that He has for you. Then you will be found and you will go home. You will be back with the sheep. You'll be back in the 10-piece garland. You'll be back in the home of the Father. And when this short life is over, you'll be with Him in eternity forever, rather than being lost forever. You can be found. The second question for those of us who are found, I want to make this last point. The Pharisees asked Jesus, why does He associate with sinners? And Jesus says, because they're lost. Now the question for us this morning, if we've been found, we've been saved, and the Savior, the Son of God who saved us, is out there seeking, is out there looking for those who are lost, shouldn't we also? Shouldn't we be out there seeking and saving that which is lost? We should. Why? Because He uses us to do it. He sends us out on a mission, a great commission. Go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Oh, may we never feel like we need to be in a glass case because we're Christians. We need to break that glass and step out. And we need to associate with those who are lost in some way. I've been very convicted of this. We need to associate with those who are lost in some way. Jesus ate with sinners. And He was ridiculed, but He did it because He had a purpose. He wanted to seek and save that which was lost. And that is our calling. That is our purpose, brothers and sisters. We are to go out and to associate and to find those who are lost. And you know something? I was thinking about this. I've been in Dodgeville for, 2.5 years maybe. And, you know, when I drive down the road, I see people struggling. I see that there's poverty and there's hurting. But that's not what I see mainly. It's out there. I don't deny it. But when I drive through any given street, what I see is I see everyday people, middle class, got a pretty decent home. They've got kids, they're involved in sports events and involved in different things in the community. They've got pretty solid careers. They seem perfectly happy, perfectly content. They're not on the streets begging for bread for the most part. And it's so easy for us when we go down and we see all these people, it's so easy for us to think, well, they're fine. We don't need to reach out to them. But if they don't know God, they're lost. They may be the richest person in the world, but they're lost. They may have the most magnificent family in the world, but they're lost in their souls. They may agree with us on certain points of society, but they're lost if they don't know Christ. So the call for us this morning, brothers and sisters, in addition to being found by God ourselves, is to go out and be the means of the Savior seeking and saving that which is lost. And so when I have us bow our heads in prayer, in closing, I would like for us to make a commitment to our Savior here this morning. Because if we know Him, we've been saved. We've been found. And I'd like for us to make a commitment that we, as individuals, will actively seek the Lord in how He would have us engage with those who are lost. And I don't know how that's going to manifest itself. I'm not talking about it's a form of specific outreach in general. I'm saying for us as individuals, individual sheep that have been saved, that we will seek the Lord about how we will reach those who are lost. So that we one day, brothers and sisters, so that we one day, when we're in heaven, can rejoice with all the presence of the angels because it was one who repented. Let's come before Him in prayer. Our dear God in heaven, may Your name be hallowed and high and lifted up. For You are holy and we are not. You are pure and we are impure. We as a race are lost, Father, but You came to seek and save that which was lost, Father God. Praise God. Praise Your name that You have come to save us. I pray, dear Father God, if anyone here this morning is lost, they know it. They've been convicted by the Word of God that they are lost. I pray, dear God, that You would come and rescue them, that they would lay down everything. All the rebellion, all the pleasures that they are enticed in, they would lay it down. And You would pick them up and put them on Your shoulders and bring them home. They would call out to You, Lord, and say, Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, come. I am a sinner. I have sinned against You. You died for me to forgive my sins. Lord Jesus, save me. Father God, I pray that if we know You, You would reveal to us now how we are to go and we are to associate with those who are lost. That is our purpose. That is our reason for remaining on earth. I ask God that we as a body of Christ would in our individual hearts commit now to You. And You would join with me in this commitment. Father God, forgive us. For we have not engaged as we ought to have. Father God, motivate us with the compassion of Jesus Christ to have a love for those who are hurting, a love for those who are dying, and a love for those who by all appearances seem that they're just fine without God. When deep down inside there's that emptiness and that hollowness, Father God, I pray, we now commit to You that we will seek You and Your will in how we, as Your children, will seek those who are lost. By Your direction, we'll actively form our time, our goals, our purposes for reaching out to those who have strayed, for those who are stagnant, for those who have striven, for those who are lost, that we can rejoice with You when they are found. We look forward to that. We commit that to You, Lord. We commit to You in this. Please hold us to that, Lord, and uphold us by Your grace. And Father God, I pray as we worship You now by singing, when we all get to heaven, what a glorious day that will be. I pray that we would have in mind the rejoicing in heaven over those who are saved. We thank You, Father God, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.